Hand on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station.
News voter suppression now. Concerns, TikTok order. I'm Barbara Cusack. The removal of Postal Service collection boxes from city streets and slowdown in mail service has led to bipartisan concerns over a voter's ability to send back mail-in ballots in a timely fashion in the November presidential election. Correspondent Jessica Snyder reports some members of Congress say it smacks of voter suppression.
The U.S. Postal Service is going to be more crucial than ever. Why all of a sudden are they removing thousands of these blue collection boxes that you see on the street from states all across the country? Tonight they say that they won't remove them in the western states, about 16 states that they're going to halt this removal. But what happens in the rest of the country?
President Trump is giving the Chinese company ByteDance 90 days to divest itself of any assets used to support the popular TikTok app in the United States. Details from correspondent Carrie Shoemaker.
Trump explained in the order he believes there's credible evidence that ByteDance might take action that threatens to impair U.S. national security. Microsoft remains in talks to purchase the popular social media site.
A three-judge panel of the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals threw out California's ban on high-capacity ammunition magazines, saying it violates the Constitution's protection of the right to bear firearms.
Now, this ruling has national implications, as other states have similar restrictions. However, this ruling applies only to the western states under the 9th Circuit's jurisdiction, California, Alaska, Arizona, and Hawaii. Jim Roop, Los Angeles.
CDC predicts there will be 1,000 more COVID-19 deaths daily between now and month's end, with more than 168,000 deaths already in the U.S. And California ordered rolling power outages for the first time since 2011 as a statewide heat wave strained its electrical grid. I'm Barbara Cusack.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 6655 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 6655. Enjoy.
The U.S. wine industry is experiencing a sobering effect.
After nearly a quarter century of growth, domestic wine sales dropped 5% to $48 billion in June. Experts tell Market Watch the decline began in March when California, Illinois, New York, and other states issued stay-at-home orders, forcing bars, restaurants, wine tasting rooms, and other non-essential businesses to shutter. So wineries, especially the smaller mom-and-pop ones, are trying to spur revenue by selling directly to customers. And they're hoping for an increase in traffic as Americans visit wineries as a way to take a break from the pandemic. I'm Ann Cates.
Former Georgia quarterback Matthew Stafford, who plays for the Detroit Lions and Bulldogs coach Kirby Smart, contributed a total of $500,000 to an athletic department program focused on diversity and social justice. The university says the program will promote an inclusive culture among student athletes, coaches, and staff. I'm Barbara Cusack.
Eight conservative judges confirmed today.
That's awesome. I never get sick of winning.
I'm with you, though I am worried about this favored nation idea.
The one where our country installs socialist price controls?
Directly from countries with socialized medicine. Their policies will mean fewer new cures, less access to treatments, and lost jobs for Americans.
Gotta believe our guy will back us out of that. He puts America first.
Paid for by Americans for Tax Reform. Visit NoPriceControls.org.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. They can help save lives by not having playdates. That's right. By replacing get-togethers with virtual playdates and video chats, they can help slow the evil spread of germs. And if your superheroes do go outside, make sure they continue their superhero wing by staying 6 feet away from others to protect everyone in America land.
Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
In the district, do keep in mind there is accident investigation activity that is affecting the northbound lanes of South Capitol Street and Southeast between Malcolm X Avenue and First Sterling Avenue. That closed due to this accident investigation, as well as the 2700 block of South Capitol Street, so do keep that in mind. Also in Montgomery County, accident reconstruction work taking place on Saybrook Oaks Boulevard near Mid-County Highway. And also, do watch out for some road work right now on eastbound 66, between Lee Road and Lee Highway. Only one lane gets through. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Mostly cloudy on this Saturday. It will be a little bit cooler today. Highs in the upper 70s with some scattered showers. I think it'll be kind of off and on through the day. Heaviest, though, waiting until later on tonight. Areas of rain will become likely tonight. I think the heaviest after midnight. Lows in the 60s in the suburbs, near 70 degrees downtown. For your Sunday, rain likely, especially in the morning. I think we'll have some of that rain tapering off by the afternoon with highs in the mid-70s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Lee at the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
Got a minute? Want the latest on how COVID-19 is impacting business and the economy? Then stay in touch with Marketplace Minute, a podcast and smart speaker briefing updated 3 times daily.
I'm Nova Safa with the Marketplace Minute. The nation's gross domestic product contracted by an annualized rate of nearly Amazon 33%. Reporting profits doubled to more
consumer
than $5 billion
accounts
for two-thirds of the U.S. economy, and the Commerce Department...
Just ask your smart speaker to play the Marketplace Minute. You can also listen on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts.
Based on the recent stock market slide, do you feel your money and investments are safe? Would a repeat of the market losses you experienced earlier in the year or in 2002 and 2008 derail your family's retirement plans? It's time to make a U-turn on your retirement strategy. This Sunday at 1 p.m., tune in to the U-Turn Equity Financial Hour with Tucker and Blake. They'll cover these financial topics and, more importantly, share little-known strategies to keep your money safe and discuss tax-free income. Join the conversation this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Eight conservative judges confirmed today.
That's awesome. I never get sick of winning.
I'm with you, though I am worried about this favored nation idea.
The one where our country installs socialist price controls?
Directly from countries with socialized medicine. Their policies will mean fewer new cures, less access to treatments, and lost jobs for Americans.
Gotta believe our guy will back us out of that. He puts America first.
Paid for by Americans for Tax Reform. Visit NoPriceControls.org.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. They can help save lives by not having playdates. That's right. By replacing get-togethers with virtual playdates and video chats, they can help slow the evil spread of germs. And if your superheroes do go outside, make sure they continue their superhero wing by staying 6 feet away from others to protect everyone in America land. Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
A moment of glee from Walmart this tax-free week. Hear that? That's you realizing how much you'll save with Walmart's low prices and no sales tax. Save on fashion, like women's dresses starting at $10, men's graphic tees starting at $9, kids' sneakers starting at $8.98, and so much more. Enjoy your moment of glee. Shop Walmart this tax-free week in Maryland, August 9th to August 15th, and get free two-day delivery when you shop online. Offer good in Maryland on eligible items, two business day delivery, $35 minimum. Restrictions apply.
If you're planning to sell your home, please add my recommendation to your list. Here's why. You'll love doing business with the Reynolds team, Keller Williams Realty. Hi, Larry O'Connor. When you call the Reynolds team, Sarah and Debbie Reynolds will show you how they sell 3 times faster and for 6.5% more money on average. That's $32,500 more in your pocket. And they'll guarantee to sell your home at 100% of your asking price, or they'll pay you the difference. The secret is their buyers in waiting program. Over 10,000 ready buyers looking to buy today, creating higher demand and many times multiple offers. It's why the Wall Street Journal named the Reynolds team number one in the DC Metro for the 4th straight year, and why Perry wrote, "Good to work with, sold my home in less than a week at over the asking price." Call 844-344-SOLD. That's 844-344-SOLD, or visit DebbieHasTheBuyers.com. DebbieHasTheBuyers.com.
Now, the Saturday morning update.
Good morning. It is the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler. Great to have you with us. Jeff Wolf behind the console, Jane Houghton, and our producer this morning. And obviously, we have a lot to cover. The Democratic ticket is set. Democratic National Convention starting first of the week, followed by a week of the Republican Convention. And we're going to be talking with John Gizzi about the politics of the campaigns, what's going on, Kamala Harris, maybe some things you don't know about Kamala Harris. We'll talk about that with John Gizzi coming up later on this morning. We're going to get KT McFarland's read on the President's Peace Agreement announcement this week. Of course, she being the former Deputy National Security Advisor, she would know all of the inner workings of how a deal like that comes together, and would also like to get her perspectives on sort of what she inherited in terms of the foreign policy decisions from Joe Biden and Barack Obama. Since Mr. Biden is now running for president, it'll be interesting to see what KT found when she arrived at the White House. So we'll talk with her later on this morning on that one. We've got Jennifer Harper coming up, some interesting media stats when it comes to President Trump, and some new poll numbers we'll get into as well this morning. So we got a lot going on. Jim Trusty will join us. Of course, he's with IFRA Law, and you may have heard that the first of the charges filed in the John Durham investigation of the Russia investigation. First charge is filed, and we'll talk with Jim Trusty about what happened and what it means moving forward. And Jim's coming up within the hour, so stick around for that. And a lot of discussion right now about COVID-19, going back to school, gatherings, football, safety. We're going to talk to Dr. Bob Lahida. He's been with us a number of times and is back with us this morning. And we're going to ask some of the key questions regarding the latest on COVID-19 of Dr. Bob Lahida. So plenty to cover. Tony Schaefer's with us. We're going to talk with Tony about the Durham investigation as well. So want to get started, though, on the debate about mail-in voting. I mean, that's what's dominating the mainstream media, is how President Trump is trying to torpedo the elections by his concerns over mail-in voting. Now, you hear all of the stories, and what we like to do on the Saturday Morning Update is to maybe relay some information that you hadn't heard, especially if you were following the mainstream media. And there's an interesting article just out at Newsweek, and it talks about some of the problems states have had and are having with mail-in ballots. As an example, Newsweek reports that in California, Governor Gavin Newsom announced earlier this year that the state will be mailing ballots to all registered voters for the general election. But the Associated Press reported that state election officials rejected more than 102,000 mail-in ballots from the state's March 3rd primary because of missed deadlines or other problems with the ballots, such as missing or mismatched voter signatures. Hello. These discarded ballots represented about 1.5% of the mail-in ballots that voters submitted during the primary. And, you know, with the razor-thin edges in some of these states, especially the swing states, 1.5% could be an issue. Similar problems occurring with mail-in voting in Florida, Ohio, and Wisconsin, according to Newsweek. State election officials rejecting between 1.2 and 1.8% of the mail-in ballots sent in. That report from NBC News. Kentucky also reporting thousands of rejected ballots that were either not sealed properly, what does that tell you, were missing the voter's signature, what does that tell you, or did not have a signature that matched the one on record, what does that tell you? That's according to the Louisville Courier-Journal. Election officials told the newspaper they are not required to contact the voter whose ballot has been rejected unless they have to confirm a signature. So that's just an example of what President Trump is talking about. And I'm sure you've heard the narrative, if you spend any time on CNN, of President Trump's false claims about mail-in ballots. Well, maybe all the mainstream newsies should read Newsweek, which is also one of the mainstream newsies. So perhaps they will check that out. Well, again, we got a lot to cover. We'll get to the president's announcement on a peace agreement with the Mideast. That's next. But first, a check of the traffic and weather. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
In Virginia this weekend, there is some road work eastbound on 66 between Glebe Road and Lee Highway. Only one lane gets through this work zone for the weekend. Also, keep in mind that Braddock Road is closed in both directions between Newton Patton Drive and Sully Road due to paving work taking place this weekend. Detours are in place. Watch for accident activity in Gaithersburg right now on Saybrooks Oaks Boulevard right near Mid-County Highway. They are doing some accident investigation work there, so that intersection is closed. Now from GarageRepair.com, the WMAL Storm Watch 7 forecast.
Mostly cloudy on this Saturday. It will be a little bit cooler today. Highs in the upper 70s with some scattered showers. I think it'll be kind of off and on through the day. Heaviest, though, waiting until later on tonight. Areas of rain will become likely tonight. I think the heaviest after midnight. Lows in the 60s in the suburbs, near 70 degrees downtown. For your Sunday, rain likely, especially in the morning. I think we'll have some of that rain tapering off by the afternoon with highs in the mid-70s. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
73 degrees in the nation's capital at 6:16 on the Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
The Saturday morning update continues. I'm Rick Fowler, and thank you for joining us this morning. Of course, President Trump announcing a peace agreement, U.S. diplomacy in the Mideast. He helped to broker a deal between American allies Israel and the United Arab Emirates. Here's how the president explained it at the White House on Thursday.
This is something that hasn't been done in more than 25 years. Just a few moments ago, I hosted a very special call with two friends, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel and Crown Prince Mohammed bin Zayed of the United Arab Emirates, where they agreed to finalize a historical peace agreement. Everybody said this would be impossible. And as you know, Mohammed is one of the great leaders of the Middle East. After 49 years, Israel and the United Arab Emirates will fully normalize their diplomatic relations. They will exchange embassies and ambassadors and begin cooperation across the board and on a broad range of areas, including tourism, education, healthcare, trade, and security. This is a truly historic moment. Not since the Israel-Jordan peace treaty was signed more than 25 years ago has so much progress been made towards peace in the Middle East.
And, of course, that is the president on the Mideast peace agreement, and didn't get the attention that it would have had it been a Democratic president making that announcement, somewhat buried in many of the mainstream media outlets. We want to turn to, of course, the big announcement this week from Joe Biden, the announcement of Kamala Harris as his running mate. And a lot of talk in the media about the historic significance, and we'll get into that with John Gizzi a little bit later on this morning. A lot of questions about is Kamala Harris really a moderate as they are trying to spin the ticket, as both Biden and Kamala Harris being centrists, or what about her voting record? What about things she said on the campaign trail? A lot of that's going to be coming out. A lot of that will be discussed and debated in the weeks ahead. But they have made the announcement, and of course they move on to the official Democratic National Convention coming up first of the week. So that's one thing that's on the agenda for this morning that we'll be talking about. And I did have one note, though. I have a clip from Kamala Harris, and actually it's from Joe Biden, about Kamala Harris. And it's when he was talking about the last voice in the room when he was vice president, and President Obama said to him, I want you to be the last voice in the room. And I want to play the clip, and you'll hear it.
When I agreed to serve as President Obama's running mate, he asked me a number of questions, as I've asked Kamala. But the most important was, he said to me, what I wanted. most importantly. I told him I wanted to be the last person in the room before he made important decisions. That's what I asked Kamala. I asked Kamala to be the last voice in the room.
I asked Kamala to be the last voice in the room, and I can hear it now. Joe Biden saying to Kamala Harris, "Madam President, what would you like to do here?" Because I really think that's the way this thing's going to play out. I really think that she is going to end up Madam President a lot sooner than we think. So we'll see how that one plays out. And it is the Saturday Morning Update. It's good to have you with us. We've got some audio here from Joe Biden on the mask mandate. And he made these comments, and President Trump pushed back. So the debate is on over coronavirus in the campaign. And here's Joe Biden announcing his mask mandate, if you haven't heard this one.
Every single American should be wearing a mask when they're outside for the next 3 months at a minimum. Every governor should mandate, mandatory mask wearing. The estimates by the experts are it will save over 40,000 lives in the next 3 months. 40,000 lives.
So, President Trump responded.
Today we saw Joe Biden continue to politicize a pandemic and to show his appalling lack of respect for the American people. That's what it is. At every turn, Biden has been wrong about the virus, ignoring the scientific evidence and putting left-wing politics before facts.
And speaking of politics, the president continued.
He wants the federal government to issue a sweeping new mandate to law-abiding citizens. He wants the President of the United States, with the mere stroke of a pen, to order over 300 million American citizens to wear a mask for a minimum of 3 straight months. I guess this just happened. He thinks it's good politics, I guess.
And we all know how much criticism President Trump gets about executive orders and sometimes the authority that he tries to lay down. Here's what he had to say about Joe Biden.
He does not identify what authority the president has to issue such a mandate or how federal law enforcement could possibly enforce it or why we would be stepping on governors throughout our country, many of whom have done a very good job and they know what is needed.
So that's just the beginning of the debate over coronavirus in this year's presidential campaign. I got time for a little gem here from Eric Swalwell. We all know who Eric Swalwell is, the Democratic congressman from California. Well, yesterday he suggested that officials create a presidential crimes commission after President Trump leaves office to investigate his actions while serving as commander-in-chief. Swalwell said, quote, "I don't say this lightly. When we escape this Trump hell, America needs a presidential crimes commission. It should be made up of independent prosecutors who look at those who enabled a corrupt president. Example one, sabotaging the mail to win an election." That was a tweet from Eric Swalwell. Now, you remember Eric Swalwell was the guy that for 3 years ran around with Adam Schiff talking about all of the Russia collusion narrative. And you remember Schiff had all the evidence? Remember that evidence that Schiff had of the collusion and Swalwell had evidence? Well, they struck out on that one, so Swalwell's at it again. Guy ought to go back to his day job and just get something done on Capitol Hill instead of suggesting yet another commission. 6:24, it's the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL.
I like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer than that.
Rest easy. With the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your sleep number setting.
Can it really help me fall asleep faster?
Yes, by gently warming your feet.
Okay, but can it help keep us asleep?
It senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. And now all beds are on sale. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 Limited Edition Smart Bed, plus special financing on all smart beds. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store.
for details.
We never thought 2020 was going to be this challenging, did we? Hi, it's Jonathan Cotton with the Good Feet Store, and during this difficult time, we need hope. We need a kind of hope that is not just wishful thinking, but rather hope defined as a confident expectation. Let's see hope when we see so many neighbors leaving their homes to exercise and pursue a healthy lifestyle. Let's see hope when we see diverse groups marching together in pursuit of justice and equality. Let's see hope when we see faithful police officers pursue their calling of caring for their neighbors and communities. We have a lot of outstanding problems in our world today, but let's see hope and have hope. Let's work together, play together, and let's dream together. At the Good Feet Store, we would love to help you find hope again. Let's see if we can help you work better, play better, and start dreaming without your feet getting in the way. The Good Feet Store is located in Fairfax, Leesburg, and Rockville, or visit us at goodfeet.com.
Based on the recent stock market slide, do you feel your money and investments are safe? Would a repeat of the market losses you experienced earlier in the year or in 2002 and 2008 derail your family's retirement plans? It's time to make a U-turn on your retirement strategy. This Sunday at 1 p.m., tune in to the U-Turn Equity Financial Hour with Tucker and Blake. They'll cover these financial topics and, more importantly, share little-known strategies to keep your money safe and discuss tax-free income. Join the conversation this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 6655 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 6655. Enjoy.
Reinventing. It's what small businesses do. And reinventing is what Comcast Business is here to help you with. So whether you're swapping your tables for takeout or turning your online store into your flagship store, you'll be able to work faster with powerful, reliable internet from the nation's largest gig speed network. Work safer with all your connected devices automatically protected by Security Edge, and work anywhere with Comcast Business at Home, our new business-grade internet solution that keeps your team of remote workers connected wherever they're based. So whatever your business needs, Comcast Business has the solutions and expertise to help you not just bounce back, but bounce forward. Get a powerful and reliable internet solution now for just $69.99 a month for 24 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get free installation when you order online. Call 1-800-501-6000 or go to ComcastBusiness.com today to find out more. Offer ends 8/16/2020. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 100 megabits internet. Reinstall offer applies to one outlet. Early termination fee applies. Equipment installation taxes and fees extra subject to change.
It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. Interesting story to follow up on mail-in ballots. I've got a clip from President Trump that I want to play here real short, Trump on mail-in ballots. But before that, news story here. A major union representing U.S. postal workers endorsed Democrat Joe Biden. The National Association of Letter Carriers, which represents 300,000 current and retired workers, said that Trump's long-standing hostility to the mail-delivering agency has heightened during the pandemic. They say his administration has taken steps outside of the public eye to undermine the Postal Service and letter carriers. The words of the union president, Frederick Rolando. He said Biden is a fierce ally and defender of the United States Postal Service. Here's what President Trump had to say about mail-in ballots.
And when you go to a voting, it would be wonderful if we had voting ID, and some states have that and some states don't because they can't get it passed. Most states want it. But we want people to vote, but we want people to vote so when they vote, it means one vote. It doesn't mean ballots all over the place. You saw what was happening in Virginia, where piles of ballot applications are dropped all over the state. They had them named after dogs. They had them named after dead people. We want to have an accurate vote. I'm not doing this for any reason. Maybe the other turns out to be my advantage. I don't know. I can't tell you that. But I do know this. I just want an accurate vote. And it's a fair question, by the way. So does everybody else.
Well, that's what he had to say about it in news conference at the end of the week. And also the president yesterday indicating that he would be willing to look at that $25 billion funding request that the Democrats have asked for the Postal Service and mail-in voting. But he wants to negotiate on that point. So a lot of the hysteria in the mainstream media is somewhat unfounded because this will all work out. It is 6:30. We're going to take a break, check the news, and then back with Jennifer Harper and also Jim Trusty.
As you get back to business, small things can make a big difference, like marking safe distances with floor tape and posting reminders to wash hands. As always, Grainger is here to help, offering supplies and solutions for every industry. Free access to product specialists, 24/7 support, safety recovery guides, and more. It's part of our commitment to help you adapt and recover in these challenging times. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And in the news, the United Nations Security Council has resoundingly defeated a U.S. resolution to indefinitely extend the U.N. arms embargo on Iran, with the Trump administration getting support from the Dominican Republic. The U.S. vowed further action to prevent Tehran's sale and export of conventional weapons. Friday's vote in the 15-member council was 2 in favor, 2 against, and 11 abstentions, leaving it far short of the minimum 9 yes votes required for adoption. Bone-dry vegetation in California is fueling wildfires, and forecasters are warning that the risk of new blazes erupting is very high. Temperatures continue to rise. Humidity levels are dropping. A huge forest fire that prompted evacuations north of Los Angeles flared up Friday afternoon and is just 12% contained. It has charred more than 27 square miles of brush and trees. No containment of a blaze that blackened foothills above the L.A. suburb of Azusa. It churned through more than 2 square miles of brush but was moving away from homes. Police were looking for a homeless man they believe started the blaze. South Korea has announced stronger social distancing restrictions for its greater capital area, where a surge in COVID-19 cases threatens to erase their gains against the coronavirus. It's a 2-week measure. It starts tomorrow, allows authorities in Seoul and towns in Norman province to shut down high-risk facilities such as nightclubs, karaoke rooms, movie theaters, and buffet restaurants if they fail to properly enforce preventive measures. President Trump is giving the Chinese company ByteDance 90 days to divest itself of any assets used to support the popular TikTok app in the U.S. That executive order did go into effect yesterday. Says there is credible evidence that leads him to believe that ByteDance might take action that threatens to impair the national security of the U.S. Last week, Trump ordered sweeping but vague bans on dealings with Chinese owners of TikTok and the messaging app WeChat. 6:34, time for a check of the traffic and weather, and Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In Virginia, watch out for an accident on the southbound Fairfax County Parkway at 123. The right lane is blocked, so stay to your left and use caution there. Also, keep in mind some debris reported in the roadway in Fairfax on University Drive at Main Street. Use caution traveling in that area. That portion of the roadway is reported to be closed, so follow police direction around that. In Maryland, do be aware that Beach Drive is closed between Kensington Parkway and Knowles Avenue this weekend to allow for social distance recreation, and that will be reopened on Sunday evening. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Mostly cloudy on this Saturday. It will be a little bit cooler today. Highs in the upper 70s with some scattered showers. I think we'll be kind of off and on through the day. Heaviest, though, waiting until later on tonight. Areas of rain will become likely tonight. I think the heaviest after midnight. Lows in the 60s in the suburbs, near 70 degrees downtown. For your Sunday, rain likely, especially in the morning. I think we'll have some of that rain tapering off by the afternoon with highs in the mid-70s. I'm ABC7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
73 degrees in Washington, 6:35 on the Saturday morning update.
The Virginia Lottery has a new game. This is Keno. And this is how you play. You pick up to 10 numbers out of 80. Keno draws 20 numbers, then you match. The more numbers you match, the more you win. You could win from $1 up to $1 million on every game. With drawings every 4 minutes, fast-paced fun is on the way. Keno, new from the Virginia Lottery. Odds of winning top prize are 1 in 8.9 million.
A moment of glee from Walmart this tax-free week.
Hear that?
That's you realizing how much you'll save with Walmart's low prices and no sales tax. Save on fashion, like women's dresses starting at $10, men's graphic tees starting at $9, kids' sneakers starting at $8.98, and so much more. Enjoy your moment of glee. Shop Walmart this tax-free week in Maryland, August 9th to August 15th, and get free two-day delivery when you shop online. Offer good in Maryland on eligible items. Two business day delivery, $35 minimum. Restrictions apply.
Saturday Morning Update, thank you for joining us, and we thank Jennifer Harper for joining us each weekend. She writes Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
Okay, we have the conventions coming up. We start with the Democrats, then we move on to the Republicans. So a lot of talk about campaigns this week. How about the Trump campaign and voter coalitions? What are they doing?
Yeah, well, let's talk about the Trump campaign. There's some really big numbers to talk about. I'm sure everybody's heard that the campaign has raised $1 billion. Yay for them. But also there's some little numbers that I find to be very interesting in terms of campaign culture, because the Trump campaign is very, very nimble and very, very smart. And they have formed a number of very sharply focused interest groups. They all contain motivated voters, and they are just as diverse as you can possibly imagine. In fact, there are 20 organized coalitions within the Trump campaign, and it's easiest just to let you know who they are, and you'll get the idea. This week, the 20th coalition that was founded was called Sportsmen for Trump, and this is aimed at literally aimed at sports shooters who like clay and skeet and all that stuff, and they went ahead and introduced this coalition right at a shooting range, Rick. So that tells you what kind of campaign it is. But let's go on to how many coalitions they have, and here they come. Women for Trump, Latinos for Trump, Black Voices for Trump, Veterans for Trump, Evangelicals for Trump, Cops for Trump, Democrats for Trump, Pro-Life Voices for Trump, Workers for Trump, Irish Americans for Trump, Greek Voices for Trump, American Sheriffs for Trump, Catholics for Trump, Military Families for Trump, Moms for Trump, Asian Pacific Americans for Trump, Lawyers for Trump, Latter-day Saints for Trump, and Farmers and Ranchers for Trump. So that's the coalitions that are most likely going to get out there and vote.
You missed Antifa for Trump.
Could be.
All right. Joe Biden, of course, picking Kamala Harris. And the effort there, I believe, is to paint themselves as moderates. And we've seen sort of the initial spin. However, at one point, Joe Biden did promise to be the most progressive president in, I don't know, decades. And also, we know what Kamala Harris's voting record is like. But what is the media doing about it?
Well, the media is reinforcing the fact that Mr. Biden and Ms. Harris are masquerading as centrists or moderates. You take your pick there. And a lot of the analysts are watching. I mean, certainly our friends over at Newsbusters, the Media Research Center's conservative press watchdog, and they've already documented on-camera incidents where Ms. Harris is just offering support for the Green New Deal, Medicare for all the big-name progressive causes. So all the evidence is out there definitely that both the candidates are definitely in the progressive court there. And Nicholas Fondacaro, who has assembled a whole video montage of the proof that they are definitely not centrists or moderates, he says the liberal media will flood the zones with lies about who Harris was and what she has supported in the past in order to protect their 2020 presidential ticket. Also, the Federalist, you don't read them, you should. It's thefederalist.com, it was very interesting. Emily Jashinsky, she's the cultural editor, and she says there isn't enough language out there to express all these hybrid things where you have, she says they combine cultural radicalism and liberal corporatism and also so forth and so on. And it tells you that there's sort of an evolving and emerging political message out there with Biden and Harris. I think it's kind of a work in progress. They're kind of making it up as they go along. But we'll see. We'll see what happens in November.
Well, the gloves came off this week, firing shots at each other. And President Trump offered a description of the Biden media.
Yeah, I mean, if you have, you have to look at some of this protective media that's going on. Let's take a peek at some of the headlines that ran this week. The New Republic says it's the unlikely bond between Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris ticket belongs to the emerging America. What Trumpism can't stop? That came from MSNBC. And then some quirky ones like Kamala Harris gut-punched Joe Biden, and now she's his running mate. And that came from the Chicago Sun-Times. And BBC over there in Britain, Kamala VP pick, how she could help or hurt Joe Biden. And here's what President Trump summarized the whole thing in just a few words. And here's his take on the media coverage of Biden. He says, if he stands up, if he is able to breathe, if he's able to walk off the platform, they'll say it was one of the greatest debate performances in history. That's what Mr. Trump tells Hugh Hewitt, a fellow radio host out there. And he's talking, of course, about the presidential debates that I'm sure he'll get rave reviews from the Biden will get rave reviews from the media. And the first debate's coming up very quickly. That is September 29th.
What's interesting about all of this is typically when you're electing a president, you're looking at the first 4 years and possibly the second 4 years. But Joe Biden, we don't expect that he's going to run for re-election. And you have a poll with an even more bizarre look at his future.
Yeah, it's kind of creepy, but it's out there. There's an awful lot of people that think Mr. Biden is not going to make it through that first 4 years. And there is indeed a poll out there. This is coming from a Rasmussen Report survey of 1,000 likely U.S. voters conducted August 6th through the 9th. And, you know, we know Mr. Biden's standing there waiting in the wings, ready to go out for the debates and so forth. But voters appear to be approaching this whole event with a belief that it's likely that Mr. Biden is not going to make it to the end of the four-year term. Nobody's talking about what could happen, but here are the numbers. 49% of Democrats agree that this is a possibility, along with 73% of Republicans and 57% of independents. Again, this is a Rasmussen Reports voter survey. And only about a third, Rick, about 35% think that Mr. Biden is going to make it through those 4 years. So it's kind of weird. 50%, almost 50% of Democrats agree that he may not make it. Again, revisiting those numbers, 73% of Republicans and 57% of independents agree with this. So it's sort of disconcerting to think that a lot of people think that Mr. Biden's job would be a temporary one.
Speaking of vice presidential candidates, Sarah Palin is back on the radar. What's going on with her?
Well, I think half of the media jumped on the idea of, oh, my gosh, Sarah Palin was once a vice presidential candidate. We need to talk about her. And indeed, they did this week. In fact, Sarah Palin, as a hashtag, was ruling Twitter for a number of days. Everybody was interested in what she was doing. And interestingly enough, Sarah Palin herself came out with a public list of recommendations, which she wanted Kamala Harris to take note of for what it's like to be a vice presidential candidate. But it certainly made me revisit Mrs. Palin back in the day. You know, we have to remember, let's see, it was August 29th, 2008, when John McCain, the late John McCain, he announced his running mate was then Alaska Governor Sarah Palin. And it was it created a sensation. I revisited a lot of the press coverage there, and a lot of the press said that Mrs. Palin electrified. That was the word that kept coming up. The audiences at the Republican National Convention that followed, it was only 3 days later that she did that. And all the pollsters went wild, and they were speculating that that a new female running mate would have a big effect on women voters and pundits were interested in how Mrs. Palin could, wonderful public speaker. She had a personal style and an energy. It went on and on. It was really very interesting to reread all of this stuff. And they were very charmed by the fact that she described herself as a typical Alaska hockey mom. I'm sure everybody remembers that. And interesting to note, she went on, Mrs. Palin went on, to be named one of the 100 most significant Americans of all time, according to Barbara Walters. And also Time magazine named her 100 most, in the 100 most influential people in the world list. She was named on the 10 most fascinating people list for 2 years in a row. And she still has a lot of cachet, you know. She's, people remember that she wore something called Naughty Monkey High Heels. if you remember those red-soled shoes that she wore, they were called Naughty Monkeys. And in the past week, Mrs. Palin has been covered by the Washington Post, Politico, Daily Beast, Yahoo News, National Public Radio, People Magazine, just to name a few. And no one's quite forgotten her yet, and she had a moment in the sun this week. It was a very, very interesting moment.
Jennifer Harper, Inside the Beltway, The Washington Times. Follow her on Twitter at Harper Bulletin, and you have a great weekend.
Thanks. Have a good weekend, everybody.
6:46, Saturday morning update. We'll talk to Jim Trustee next, but first a check of the traffic and weather. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In the district, keep in mind there is some accident investigation activity affecting the northbound lanes of South Capitol Street between Malcolm X Avenue and Firth Sterling Avenue. That portion of the roadway is blocked for this accident investigation. Also, keep in mind that in Maryland, there is accident activity on Mid-County Highway at Saybrooks Oaks Boulevard, and that is in Gaithersburg. And also, there is a work zone now setting up eastbound on 66 in Manassas between Business 234 and Route 29 in Centerville. That is affecting the right lane, so far not causing delays. Now from GarageJoyRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Mostly cloudy on this Saturday. It will be a little bit cooler today. Highs in the upper 70s with some scattered showers. I think it'll be kind of off and on through the day. Heaviest, though, waiting until later on tonight. Areas of rain will become likely tonight. I think the heaviest after midnight. Lows in the 60s in the suburbs, near 70 degrees downtown. For your Sunday, rain likely, especially in the morning. I think we'll have some of that rain tapering off by the afternoon with highs in the mid-70s. I'm ABC7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
73 degrees, 6:47 on the Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
The Saturday morning update continues on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. We are joined by Jim Trustee. He is a partner at IFRA Law here in Washington, former chief of the Organized Crime and Gang Section at the U.S. Department of Justice. Jim, I've been following you this week on Twitter at Trustee Lawyer, and great to have you with us this morning.
Thanks for having me. Good morning, Rick.
The first charges as a result of U.S. Attorney John Durham's investigation into the Russia investigation have arrived. They involve a former FBI attorney, Kevin Kleinsmith. And if you can translate into layman's terms what he is accused of and the severity of it.
Sure, I'll do my best. I mean, look, this was an interesting situation where he's a lawyer at the FBI General Counsel's office, and he was in part of the chain of communications dealing with what became the FISA court applications for wiretaps on Carter Page. And he had a very specific task, which was just to find out whether Page had ever been a source in the intelligence community. And it's unclear from the documents, but we're probably talking about the CIA. So he was reaching out to his counterpart at the CIA, asking questions about whether Carter Page was a source, because it was going to be an important thing to add into their application for the wiretap. And he took an email from his CIA counterpart and flipped it around by adding into it the phrase, not a source. Now, the CIA person didn't say that, but Kevin Kleinsmith added it to an email and then passed it up the chain for inclusion in these wiretap documents. So when you think about what a general counsel is supposed to be doing, which is to make sure the agency does things right, falsifying an email to include in a FISA application is a pretty outrageous moment.
So now that he's charged, where does it go from here in this one area of the Durham investigation?
Well, for this particular case, what he was charged with was an information. That means the prosecutor just filed what looks like an indictment without using the grand jury. So that's a tip that he is going to be pleading guilty. He hasn't pled guilty yet. We haven't seen any plea documents, although I suspect we might see them in the next week or so. But the fact that he consented to the filing of an information rather than a grand jury pretty much tells you that he's going to be pleading guilty. And his lawyer, Justin Scherer, who's a former DOJ lawyer, he knows what he's doing. He's already been publicly essentially apologizing for what Mr. Kleinsmith did. So this is not shaping up to be a trial. It is shaping up to be a guilty plea. And it's not the case of the century. It's really probably the tip of the iceberg for what Durham's working on. But it's an interesting start to see, again, a lawyer at the FBI eating a felony charge for misconduct.
We've seen 70 days and nights of violence and protests in Portland, Oregon. The Oregon State Police came in to restore order, but now they've pulled out. That after the county prosecutor said that his office wouldn't prosecute protesters arrested for many of the city ordinance violations. As a former prosecutor, how does that strike you?
Well, it strikes me as consistent with the mayor of Portland, where they are consistently sending the wrong message and making political decisions instead of prosecutorial ones. So it's it'd be a bad time to live in Portland would be the short version of this. You know, the DA announced he's not going to pursue any of these city ordinance violations, which are basically like disorderly conduct type charges, criminal trespass, riot. I mean, all of those are kind of low grade city ordinance violations. But there's layers to this that get even more silly, because that one you can kind of understand, hey, if it's not the same as assaulting a police officer, it's not the same as arson. But then he added to it that if there's misdemeanor or felony crimes where there's only financial harm, then they can basically get dismissals for restitution or what he said were other amends to the community. So that starts to gravitate into things like burglary, arson, looting. And I guess what he's saying is, you know, with those, we're just going to basically make them pay for the TV set now. And I don't know what the other amends means. I mean, I don't know if that means they're going to do book reports and report back and say they've learned their lesson, or if they're going to do community service in the community that they just destroyed. I don't know. But that's a pretty amazing departure from typical prosecution to, again, categorically make these decisions. And then the last part, Rick, in terms of the kind of changes that the new district attorney announced, I think is the most outrageous part. He basically said if there's resisting arrest or assaulting police officer cases, that they will be under what he calls high scrutiny, and consideration will be given to protesters arrested in the chaos of the protesting environment, especially after tear gas may have been used. So think about that long-winded sentence for a quick second. He's basically saying, we have decided categorically we're not going to believe the police when they charge people with either assaulting them or resisting arrest. And by the way, it's kind of your fault, police officers, because you use things like tear gas during riots. To me, again, it's kind of a straight descent from the city ordinances down to this. But this part is the type of thing that would make any normal sentient police officer say, why would I be here? Why would I want to stick around this city if this is the message that the DA is sending? And by the way, as the last point on that, they've probably already dismissed, according to newspaper reports, somewhere in the neighborhood of 400 out of the 550 arrests that have taken place during Portland's riots. So they are basically turning a blind eye to an awful lot of bad behavior in that city.
How did the Oregon State Police explain the reason they were moving out?
Well, they did so in a kind of a classy, quiet way. They had agreed as part of this brokered peace effort with the Portland political figures that they would basically stick around the courthouse for 2 weeks, the Hatfield Federal Court, for about 2 weeks after the feds had pulled out. So they did that. I think every expectation was that they would probably renew their presence there and stay. They've had officers, I should say troopers, getting injured during these protests, including a few nights ago. So one would think they would probably stick around and continue to protect the courthouse, but I think their chief looks at it and says, you know, what's the point if we have no support from the politicians? And I guess I include the local prosecutor in that phrase, politicians.
We saw this week that Hillary Clinton's efforts to remain in the political fray continue, and apparently her court cases continue, too.
Well, that's a great point. I mean, there's a court case that has been meandering through the D.C. circuit, actually the district court and now the Court of Appeals, for years. And it started in the middle of 2014 when Judicial Watch sought to obtain documents from the State Department that all related to Susan Rice's television appearances after the Benghazi attack. So they filed a Freedom of Information Act request, a FOIA request, looking for anything that would essentially contradict or kind of prove the lie of what Susan Rice had to say when she blamed a video for the, quote, spontaneous attacks in Benghazi on September 11th of all days. And what happened in 2014 is the State Department kind of slow walked it. They didn't respond on time. They asked for additional time. It makes its way into the court. It's going through a process in front of Judge Lamberth while there's a similar case going on in front of Judge Sullivan, same courthouse. And basically what Judge Lamberth did was kind of take a back seat and watch what happened in Judge Sullivan's courtroom, which, again, took years. It was December of 2018 that Judge Sullivan's case started to wrap up, including in interrogatories, questions that were put to Hillary Clinton. Well, Judge Lamberth looked at those answers and felt that they were evasive and incomplete, and he took the pretty unusual step of essentially ordering discovery in a FOIA request. In other words, letting Judicial Watch pursue additional questions about how information was being gathered by the State Department to comply with their request. The big issue here was that Hillary Clinton was using a private email account. And what happened in terms of Judge Lamberth's approach was he said, you know, even though it's a FOIA case, we're going to go ahead and dig in a little bit and find out what Hillary Clinton has to say about this private server and where these other emails might be that reflect on Benghazi. What happened on the three-judge panel was a complete reversal of Judge Lamberth. They found that he was abusing his discretion. They seemed satisfied with Hillary Clinton saying the only reason she had this secondary account was convenience, which I'll come back to. And basically, they let it be known that this case is going to end. So it's funny how delay served Hillary very well. I mean, it took years to get to this point. It seemed like the court on the appellate level was kind of worn out by the delay. And they're willing to accept something like convenience, which really is basically nonsensical. It doesn't make any sense to say it's more convenient that I use the private email account for official business. It's all about avoiding FOIA, and it looks like she's succeeded.
Jim Trustee, partner at IFRA Law here in Washington. You can follow him during the week on Twitter, at Trustee Lawyer. Jim, thank you very much.
Sure, thanks. Have a good weekend.
We're at 6:58. We've got the news coming up at 7, then back with John Gizzi. We'll talk with Dr. Bob Lahita, Tony Schaefer, and KT McFarland.
It's okay.
Coronavirus.
The virus can't spread through your telephone.
The American people are resilient.
So come on in. Breathe easy.
I think most people don't have a problem with that.
And speak your mind.
Thank you for taking my call.
At 105.9 FM WMAL.
I like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer than that.
Rest easy. With the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your Sleep Number setting.
Can it really help me fall asleep faster?
Yes, by gently warming your feet.
Okay, but can it help keep us asleep?
It senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep.
And now all beds are on sale. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed, plus special financing on all smart beds. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
Reinventing. It's what small businesses do. And reinventing is what Comcast Business is here to help you with. So whether you're swapping your tables for takeout or turning your online store into your flagship store, you'll be able to work faster with powerful, reliable internet from the nation's largest gig speed network. Work safer with all your connected devices automatically protected by Security Edge, and work anywhere with Comcast Business at Home, our new business-grade internet solution that keeps your team of remote workers connected wherever they're based. So whatever your business needs, Comcast Business has the solutions and expertise to help you not just bounce back, but bounce forward. Get a powerful and reliable internet solution now for just $69.99 a month for 24 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get free installation when you order online. Call 1-800-501-6000 or go to ComcastBusiness.com today to find out more. Offer ends 8/16/2020. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 100 megabits internet. Free install offer applies one outlet. Early termination fee applies. Equipment installation taxes and fees extra subject to change.
WMAL-FM Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station.